Deep dive into the world of science with Nature Plus. From the vastness of the distant star systems to the intricacies of infectious diseases due to climate change, we've got you covered. Enjoy access to over 55 cutting-edge journals, breaking scientific news, and over 1,000 new articles every month. Whether you're a seasoned researcher or just curious, Nature Plus simplifies complex studies. Plus, it's all available right at your fingertips on nature.com. Nature Plus, the key to unlocking the world's most significant scientific advances. Subscribe today at go.nature.com/plus.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cancer is an extraordinarily varied disease, impacting many people in many ways. And so to help us narrow things down, we often categorize cancer based on areas of the body. Lung cancer, breast cancer, skin cancer, and so on. And yet, increasingly, medical research is telling us that the molecular or genetic causes of cancer are not necessarily tied to parts of the body, and that can have profound impacts on the kinds of treatment people should receive. And it's because of that that some oncologists are calling for a change in the way we think about and the way we name cancers. And last week in Nature, we had a comment piece calling for just that. It's a big topic, and so for the podcast, Lucy Odling-Smee, the opinion editor who worked on that comment, called up one of its authors, Fabrice André, from the Institut Gustave Roussy in Paris, and they talked through his ideas. Here's Lucy.
When most people think about cancer, they think about breast cancer or lung cancer or blood cancer. Why do people think about cancer in this way, and what are the problems with thinking about cancer according to body part?
Hello, Lucy. I think first we have to come back on what is a cancer. Cancer is a biological disease, meaning it's a normal cell that has become malignant. It's just, I think, starting from this point is important to remind everyone, cancer is a biological disease. Then we know that the cancer arises in one organ. And this is what we call early stage cancer, localized cancer. And of course, when the cancer is diagnosed at early stage, the best treatment is surgery or radiation therapy. So this is why historically the cancer have been named by the organ they are originated from. Now, if we move to metastatic cancer, things are different because the cancer is not only in the organ of origin, but also in many other organs that are called metastasis. And here, the importance of the organ of origin is less obvious, and we should refer more about what are the biological mechanisms that are involved in this metastatic cancer.
So what is the alternative then? How should we be thinking about cancer, if not according to body part? How should we be naming cancers?
What we have seen in the recent decade is the emergence of therapies that target a specific molecular mechanism involved in cancer progression. It can be on the cancer cell, it can be on the immune cell, but the common feature of the recent therapies is that they target protein, molecule involved or overexpressed in cancer. So it means that it would make sense to better take care of the patient with metastatic cancer, to rethink the way we classify cancer and to classify them based on their biological feature, because that will help the development and the clinical trials of new drugs. And it would also help for training and interaction and to communicate with the patients.
I wonder, could you give me an example of a situation where naming cancers according to where the cancer originates in the body has led to people not getting the treatment that could have helped them?
So we have several examples. Actually, we have a lot of examples. The first one, more than 10 years ago, were developed drugs that target the modulation of the immune system this drug interact with a protein called PD-L1. So the first trials were done, and very quickly, the cancers that overexpress PD-L1, but also the cancers with deficiency in the capacity to repair DNA, these cancers with specific biological feature were more sensitive to the drug. Nevertheless, it was decided to make the clinical trials sequentially, one after the other one, defined by where the cancer originated from in terms of organ. And because of that, well, some patients with cervical cancer, for example, a gynecological cancer, that overexpress PD-L1 got access to this drug, effective drug, more than 10 years after the first trials were done. The other example, similar example, I'm not going to go into detail, is for the patient who have a specific mutation, BRCA1, BRCA2. These patients develop cancer that are very sensitive to a drug family that is PARP inhibitor. PARP inhibitors were developed first in patients with ovarian cancer, second in patients with breast cancer, then in patients with prostate or pancreatic cancer, meaning that we did some estimate that around 300,000 patients did not get access to this effective therapy because, again, clinical trials were done sequentially in cancer defined by the organ of origin.
So that's two really compelling stories about how patients don't get the treatments they need when they could have done. Are there other problems caused by us naming cancers according to where they originate in the body?
Yeah, from our perspective, there are two other problems. Most important one is a question of drug development and how can we speed up clinical trial to allow access to as many patients as possible. This is at the top, is the most important. Then we have what we call organization of the hospitals. And hospitals now are organized based on the organ of origin, meaning that a patient with metastatic breast cancer will be treated in a totally different unit than a patient with similar disease in terms of biology, but that it originated from another organ. So this is a little bit strange because we should generate experts in the biology of the disease to take care of the patient. The other problem is in terms of training and education. Nowadays, we have a lot of clinical trials, too many randomized trials, so the oncologist cannot digest all these trials. There are too many of them in too many different diseases. If the disease, again, the metastatic cancer, were classified by molecular feature, first, it would dramatically decrease the number of clinical trials, so it would be easier to digest this knowledge. And second, it will facilitate the training and the understanding of the therapies and the trial, especially for the side effect. It is the same at the level of the patient. It's very usual that I see a patient and the patient telling me, look, doctor, I don't understand. I have a breast cancer. I received this drug. My friend has a breast cancer as well, and she received a totally different treatment. One of the doctor is not doing well. This is very usual. In fact, it's just because the two patients have two totally different breast cancer that require two totally different treatment. If we were teaching and discussing with the patient the disease based on biological mechanism, of course, this problem will never occur.
So I did want to ask a bit more about how this will all work from the patient perspective. So as anyone who's dealt with a chronic health problem knows, the language you use to describe your condition has a massive effect on how people around you respond. How do you think all this might affect patients? I mean, presumably telling someone you have lung cancer is going to provoke quite a different emotional response from saying, I have a tumor and it has a mutation in the EGFR gene. So how do you imagine that playing out?
So first, Lucy, of course, it's always very difficult for a doctor to speak on behalf of patient because I've not been patient myself, so it's always difficult too. But when we discuss with some social scientist and patient, we have been helped a lot by a patient who unfortunately died a few months ago on this concept. She was herself a scientist in history of medicine, and the hypothesis is that if the patient knows better his or her disease, it will generate less anxiety and it will facilitate the understanding of the treatment choice and therefore the engagement on the pathway of care, on the treatment. So this is the hypothesis. The last point that is important is that, and again, I have not been a patient, but what some patients are telling us is that it generates less anxiety when the patient knows that there is a lot of knowledge on the disease. And telling a patient, look, we know that your disease is because this mutation, this problem on the immune system, etc., etc., is an evidence that we know about the disease. And if we know about the disease, again, the hypothesis is that we can better treat the disease. Now, we need to implement that in clinical trials. There's going to be some clinical trials testing on a comparative way, whether introducing the disease as organ-based or biological-based, which one is the best for the patient. Because all what we are discussing now are hypotheses. Now, some social scientists have taken this question seriously and are thinking about a prospective trial where they will compare the two different perceptions of cancer, biology-based or organ-based.
So people have been naming cancers according to where the cancer originates in the body for more than a century. So how easy do you think it's going to be to change how people think, change the way people do things that's been around for such a long time?
I think it's going to be about showing clinical evidence that this way of classifying patients is better than the old classification. We are in a community where everybody is trying to do his or her best. So, and the fact that classification were done based on organ of origin was based on a solid rationale. That was the fact that the local treatment need this classification. How is it possible to move toward a biology-based classification? The plan is the following one. First, if the target is observed across cancer, the trial, phase 3, must be done pan-cancer. This is the most important part. Some scientific societies are working on this. Clinical trialists, now in phase 1, are more and more willing to develop drugs across different cancers. At the end, is going to be, can we provide evidence that a drug can be more quickly developed if we make the trial multi-cancer or pan-cancer. This also need to be discussed with what we call regulatory agency. FDA is really ahead with this concept because FDA has already done multiple drug approval based on the expression of the target agnostic of the organ of origin. So other regulatory agencies needs to be convinced, but we will convince them. And then, of course, it's about stakeholder engagement. We need the whole community of oncologists being interested on working in this framework of biological classification. And, of course, the patient engagement to push for this new classification. But again, what is going to be the driving force is the evidence with some prospective example that if we work on that way, it's going to be better for the patient.
This different way of doing things where you classify cancers according to their molecular characteristics, it's really only going to work if enough people have access to the molecular tests. And at the moment, the numbers are still not great on that. So what are the key barriers that are still preventing people from getting access to molecular testing, which would tell them about these features of their cancer?
Well, you are totally right. Of course, real-world data show that only a minority of patients get access to the best molecular tools. Why is that? First, it's still because some tests are too expensive. Second, because some doctors, and they don't perceive the disease as a biological disease. Fortunately, a very small minority. So how are we going to break these barriers? First one, access to the test. Pathology assisted by artificial intelligence is going to transform this field, because pathology assisted by AI does not cost a lot of money, can be implemented almost everywhere, and can tell the physician and the biologist what is the likelihood of presenting a specific mutation. Okay, so then the doctor will have to confirm this mutation. But and then for the few colleagues who still don't order test, I think this is about education, education, education.
So when you look across the landscape of oncology and you see the potential barriers and the potential positives of doing this, are you hopeful that this shift will happen and it'll shift fairly soon?
Yes, I'm confident because, you know, we are not driving the field. The reality is that there are researchers, that are developing drugs, that are inventing drugs. We all know these drugs work in very specific disease defined by biology. The patient, they want access to these drugs. So, you know, it's a whole movement, you know. It's not something that a few people suddenly say, oh, it needs to change. No, no, it's all the things move on the same way. So I think it's unstoppable. It's just a question of, is it going to take 10 years, 3 years, or 20 years? But I think it's the way now medical oncology is being done.
Thanks so much, Fabrice. That was absolutely fascinating.
Thank you, Lucy. And I take the opportunity to thank you for all the work you did with us to write and comment and also to exchange ideas. And it was a very, very nice discussion and conversation. And of course, we all hope that what we are doing is going to improve the outcome of the patient in the near or long-term future.
That was Fabrice André talking to Lucy Odling-Smee. If you want to read the whole comment article from Fabrice and his colleagues, we'll put a link in the show notes.
The Nature Podcast is supported by Nature Plus, a flexible monthly subscription that grants immediate online access to the science journal Nature and over 50 other journals from the Nature portfolio. More information at go.nature.com/plus.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.